from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I might even hit the post, Tyler. The drive is live.
How about it? There it is.
Go have a time, J-Lo.
He's trying to slow it up.
Good.
Trying to slow it up to get to two, didn't he? Gave him pauses. The drive is live. It is. You hear Clint Sterner there. There is Tyler Milner. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you. Those of you listening to the Odyssey app, however you are taking in the drive, we appreciate that. I do. Get the Davis Mills thought in your mind, because you're going to have to explain the situation. Because, you know, I'm not really into talking about backup quarterbacks, but this is your opinion on this is interesting, because it's a little different than what we.
Hey, don't be disrespecting backup quarterbacks. Now, we just spent 3 minutes talking about the number eight receiver on this team.
I know it. I know it. I just, you know, I didn't want to do that either, but I didn't really want to do that either. My man said he felt like something's going to unlock, which I bet you. Hey, Doc, say what you think going to unlock. I'm thinking about it. Like, when you think something's going to unlock with John Metchie, what's the receiver comp you're fearful that they trade him and he becomes? Like, what's the receiver comp? That's what I'm serious. Like, what is the comp? I don't want to trade him because I think he may unlock this and become this player. Who is it?
Man,
Antonio Brown, is that what you think he's going to unlock it and become 8-4?
I'd say Juju Smith-Schuster in Kansas City.
Oh, God, them badass knees Juju had. Juju's running that 4-9.
I thought that sucker was done, and he went out there and they ended up winning the damn Super Bowl with
him. Oh, yeah, that is some hair right there. He need him a – is that Tom Jones?
That's my good hair brethren.
I tell you, he's got some good hair. But no, we'll get to the Davis Mills thing. I do want to make a reminder. Today is a Texans Ticket Thursday. Texans Ticket Thursday, 5:00. 5:00. So be checking in there. Stay with us the rest of the way. But
call you folks, man. Call your mom and them. Get plugged in now.
Give yourself your best chance to win it. You had chances to win at 9 a.m. You had chances to win at 1 p.m. You'll have chances to win with us at 5 p.m. and at 9 p.m. as Area 45 will be able to hook you up with tickets as well. And these are club-level tickets, lower bowl club-level tickets. So your chance to win those coming up at 5 o'clock. So programming note there. All right, what's up with the Davis Mills situation? As you said, and Figgy said, he was out there Sunday, not really dressed at all. Then the last two practices, at least ones I know you attended the last two, I attended the last one. He was fully dressed, helmet on, in that hot-ass heat, just standing like us. I really feel bad for him. He was basically doing what we were doing except he was standing with pads and a helmet on. Like that, that was a tough stand right there. But he didn't practice at all, didn't get a rep at all, just was out there in full pads. And then today was the same. So that's 3 days in a row that he hasn't gotten a rep. Four practices in a row, if you count Sunday, that he hasn't even gotten a rep. And when D'Amico was asked about it, he said he's fine. He said he's fine. We're happy with Davis. He's had a great camp. So you being in the league, you playing the position and understand how this stuff shakes out. When you see that it doesn't seem to be a health thing, what jumps out to you on the reasoning why Davis Mills has been sitting there and not getting any reps?
Well, it very well could be what J-Lo was talking about, the insinuating that maybe there's a potential trade. There's some conversations going on. You don't want to get him hurt. And to be honest with you, that was my initial thought at first. But you get to thinking about Davis Mills, like, what's the demand for Davis Mills? What's he going to command in a trade? Not that it necessarily matters, I don't guess. But if I go back to the backup quarterback situation, if you didn't address the backup quarterback situation to make it at least from the jump, from the start of season, where Case Keenum is not your backup, and which includes potentially trading Davis Mills. Like, you didn't just wake up today and go, oh, y'all think we want to trade. Like, this clearly, if it is a trade, it clearly was in the books. I mean, it clearly was in the cards, I guess, is a better way to say it. So, I just can't let myself believe that Nick and D'Amico let this quarterback room be in the shape that it's in, knowing that they could potentially trade Davis Mills. So I just can't go there. I think it's very simple. I think the starters are going to play the whole first half this week. I just simply don't think Davis Mills is getting reps. I think they go.
So that's where it's not a deal of there's a thought he's trying to get traded or is injured. You just think the rep count is going to show itself to be the starters, which Stroud plays like a half. Then they know what they have with Davis, and they want to see more of what Tim Boyle.
With the starters eating up that much time, I wonder if they think it's worth it to put their, like, a guy who has solidified the number two spot, to put him out there with the third and fourth stringers in a game. Is that really what how they want to handle their quarterback situation? I think it's pretty simple. I just think he's not going to play this week, and I think next week he's going to probably get the whole first half of the fourth game.
Okay. Yeah,
so I think it's a play time. I think it's a playing time issue with this game.
And you've seen that happen before in the league. Like, that's something that
I don't know that I've really paid attention, to be honest with you, with backup quarterbacks and in preseason football and other teams. I don't know if I've ever necessarily seen that. I don't recall when quarterbacks play the first half, and maybe even one drive into the second half. I don't recall how their backup quarterback was handled. So I don't have an answer for that question, but I think it's pretty simple as that. Now, if it is a trade and they get something decent in return, I'm here for it. But I see it being a playtime preseason game number three.
All right, so that's the kind of the Davis Mills situation. It sparked a lot of thoughts. Will he be traded? What does this mean? As Clint looks at it and thinks it's just a playing time situation. So who do you think gets the bulk of it in the second half? You think this is them just trying to? Because I think
both of those guys will get work. I think Case and Boyle will get work.
That's interesting, because to me, I would think they know what Case is.
Well, Case, the interesting thing at practice yesterday, Case went in with the twos.
Yeah, he did.
He went C.J. Stroud, Case, C.J. Stroud, Boyle.
Yeah.
So, you got to think that again. You're not throwing a 52-year-old out there in practice with the twos on a Wednesday.
Why do you keep doing?
Unless he's gonna get some kind of run. That's right. He ain't 52.
Can we ask that? How old is Case?
I mean, I don't think he's been 36.
Is he 30, 36, 37?
I think I heard him say it the other day on All Access. I think he's 36. Maybe.
Got that man 36. The man 52.
Yeah,
years old.
Yeah. He looks a little older. He plays a little older than he is.
Yeah. Go Cougs! That's my guy.
Like, I think you're good, Clint, if you don't cross 50. Like, I think you're good.
If I say 48?
Perfect. Okay. I wouldn't even have flinched.
Oh, you just like disrespectful. Yeah,
I think when you get over 49, I think that's when.
He may find that disrespectful.
I think so.
Well, that's the last thing I want to do is disrespect anybody.
Yeah. 47, smooth, you know. But if I were you, I'd probably keep him a couple years
from your age,
right,
older. So I would do that too. So I think
it's fair.
47, 48, 49. That's a winner.
I'll go with my age, 46.
46.
Beautiful number.
All right, so that's it. That's the deal there is they got going a little walkthrough today as they'll be off tomorrow and then get ready to play the New York Giants here coming up on Saturday. Tyler, you're a fan. Text line, YouTube, and Twitch, you jump in on this as well. How big is the fan thought, the interest in this Cam Akers, Dameon Pierce thing? I wonder how big of a deal this is to fans. Is this a pressing thing or at least one of the top things that's on fans' minds?
Because it is for me, and I think it should be.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the Cam Akers, Dameon Pierce thing is something that is on the front of mind. Like you're really legit thinking like that's a thing that
100%. Because even if you're excited about Joe Mixon, and I'm excited about Joe Mixon, even if you're excited about that, the way this league is, the way the game is in the National Football League is now, you got to have that second running back. Like that second guy is going to get meaningful touches. And you factor in injuries with any kind of aging running back, and I hate to tell you, Joe Mixon is. It should be a huge deal, and it is to me, who's going to be getting the rock the second most amount of times in that backfield.
See, I think there's a Dameon Pierce fatigue, too, with the fan base. I think there's a good chunk of the fan base is like, man, I've seen enough. Like, which really, it makes sense because the majority of the fan base didn't watch any All-22. The majority of the fan base is just turning it on and listening to somebody talk about how Dameon Pierce don't know how to run outside zone and how he got benched at the end of the season and here we are. Why waste time with him? Now all of a sudden you got a guy that knows the system, been in the system, had success. He appears to be back from the double Achilles tear. And I say that like he did it all at once. The two times that he's torn his Achilles in his career. He seems to be back and there's no arguing like the stats aren't just like, oh my gosh, what is Dameon Pierce going to do? But it's clear when he's in there, he's impacting the game multiple ways. When he's in there, they're moving the ball and scoring points. And they just I think there are a big chunk of people that just don't think Dameon Pierce can do those things.
Yeah, to me, I think it becomes a real serious thing Saturday if we see a little bit more of Dameon Pierce doing what he did. Not just on Friday against the Steelers, but more of what we saw last year. If we get in there, which I am hopeful that the starters, as you say, play a long stretch.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful, hey, man, all right, Joe Mixon, let's get a series in, and then you can go ahead and go off. And then this is a Dameon Pierce thing, and Dameon Pierce gets a couple of possessions at least with the number one offensive line. And then we get to see what he does with that. Let's see if it's better. Because everything we've heard all offseason is he is getting better. He has turned a corner.
We're looking
at this. And then, like, four carries against the Steelers can't be it. When we can clearly see, I know you've watched, you didn't see the All-22, but you watched film to see multiple guys just running up at the line of scrimmage in the hole with a guard playing right tackle where they ran the ball mostly. So to me it's not a big thing yet. If they come out and he gets extended time, which I think he probably will, and it looks like it did last week, and then Cam Akers continues to do what he has done, then I think it's more of a serious thing. But it's a tough thing to just tout him all offseason for how he has made these changes and how he has gotten better with it, and then he gets four carries, and now like his job's on the line. That's a little quick.
I can't get there yet, but I think there's two things that need to be true. I think Dameon Pierce needs to feel the
absolute,
because he's the polar opposite in terms of what he brings to the table, right? I mean, he knows the system like the back of his hands. He knows all the pass protections like the back of his hand. He's been there and done that. Dameon Pierce is not. He's a veteran. It's got a little different skill set, obviously, than Dameon Pierce. So there's a little bit of difference there. But really, it's just, he brings to the table the consistent, the I know what I'm getting kind of guy, with the exception of the Achilles. And I think the jury's still out on Damian Pierce. But I can't with a straight face tell you, sit here and talk about how I think Damian Pierce is in trouble for his job. Now, I do think he should feel pressure. And I do think that Cam Akers has deserved some run, maybe even in the first half this week.
He can't just keep laying four carries for 1 yard eggs.
Well, you can't.
That can't. And then others seem to have success.
Yeah. Well, what can't happen is like they can't just continue to let Cam play in the third and fourth quarter and really draw anything from that. Like I said before, I've been the guy that plays.
How much do you draw from that? How much do you draw from what Cam? So
I think you see, man, this guy's healthy. He's still got some juice.
Still makes some people move.
And like I said, he is impacting the game in multiple ways. We've seen that the spin move run that he got down inside the 5 yard line. We saw him inside the 5 yard line running the ball, the hard yards. We've seen him catch the ball multiple times out of the backfield. Like, there's no denying that. Like, I don't sit there, like, I just don't think coaches can watch what Cam Akers. First of all, they don't care about the box score, but I don't think they can watch Cam Akers play and not walk away with, he's healthy, he's still got the juice, and there ain't no denying it, when he's in the game, they move the football.
But you don't walk away from it saying, by watching what he did in the Hall of Fame game in the third quarter, and watching what he did against the Steelers in the third and fourth quarter, and say, that is our number two back.
No, not even close. Now, get him in the game in the first half. Get him in the game in the first half this week and or next week, and let's see.
Has he even passed up Dare Ogunbowale?
Oh, I mean, I would think so.
Do you?
I mean, I would think so. I would think they're going to keep four backs. Dare's big on special teams. That's the thing with Cam, is like Dare's, when you start talking about backs, I would think they're going to keep four, right?
Yeah, because of him. Yeah, and he's your backup kicker.
he's got to be. I mean,
yeah, he plays all the
really good
teams.
On special teams, so he's got to be.
Yeah.
So that's a little different dynamic there, but the thought of Cam Akers is coming. Let's put it to you that way, and I think fans know it. I think there's a lot of fans that have that Damian Pierce fatigue and just are tired of watching the same old stuff.
Yeah, text line coming in. Cam should be number two behind Mixon. The combination would be nice, great to see in this offense. Pierce has too many questions that need to be answered. It's just that easy. Yeah, you're right. I think some people have fatigue. By the way, a little note, and I think this is an important thing. Malik Nabers, the top pick for the New York Giants, and a receiver who is a very, very talented receiver. Some think right up there with Marvin Harrison Jr., who went first in terms of receivers in the draft. He practiced today. He had been injured with a leg issue, but he practiced today and could play on Saturday. Those are reports. I think that's incredibly important, Clint, because Kamari Lassiter has yet to play a preseason game yet. And I don't know how much he plays next week, and I don't know how much he sees real NFL guys if he does play next week, because I could see the Rams not playing. I don't think Stafford's going to play. He already has a hamstring. And then we'll see if they play Cooper Kupp or Puka. So I don't know how much he'll see there, but I think that would be big with Malik Nabers if he plays, if a guy like Kamari Lassiter, or even if they try to match him up in the slot against Petrie. They have to cover guys like that before the season starts.
Well, yeah, you would love to see the Giants bring Nabers to town. That's for sure, to see what kind of, you know, what our guys can handle. But you look down at that, the one thing, and we'll talk a little bit more about matchups tomorrow, I'm sure. But one thing that, to your point specifically, Ron, is you look at the Giants receiving squad. They got a nice little squad. I mean, they got some guys that are going to come in.
They still got Slayton over there.
They got Slayton. They've got Hyatt. They drafted in the first round last year. They got McKenzie. They got Wandale Robinson. They got Allen Robinson. I know Allen ain't who he once was, but they've got five or six.
Been shot in the knee.
They got five or six dudes that can challenge at least the Kamari Lassiters and the Jalen Petries of the world. They're going to have to work, and if they can. If they can handle these guys, then that'll be a huge plus. So, I'd love to see Malik Nabers. I want to see Malik Nabers and Stingley go at it. This receiving core, I think, is going to challenge a couple of those guys in terms of the guys that have never played in the NFL, the guys that have never played their respective position at this point.
And I think they need that challenge, because the Steelers didn't really do a whole lot of it. I mean, George.
Pickens
did a little bit, but him and Justin Hill, they couldn't even get snaps multiple times there. And like I said, I don't know how much the Rams are going to play any of their starters in that final preseason game. So I am hopeful just for, you know, readiness of the regular season. And I do think, even though it's preseason, that is much more closer to a game scenario of how guys go as opposed to practice. I understand he is seeing guys in camp, but in a real game scenario, when you don't have some of the routes memorized now, you don't know exactly what they're going to do. I think that's a really good challenge for him coming up. All right, the Astros are a season high 10 games over 500, and they've got a season high 2.5 game lead over the Seattle Mariners. This is the conversation I want to have coming up. What was the turning point? I want you to really chew on this. On the other side of the break, you can text in your thoughts on YouTube and Twitch, and as well on the text line. What was the turnaround that got the Astros to this point? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As he hits one high and deep to left field, got a shot at the track, it's gone! Jeremy Pena, a career 353 hitter against Tampa Bay, the best of any team he faces, puts the Astros in front 1-0.
Did they win that game yesterday on two hits?
They did. Two like that, lone hits.
Like, listen, I don't like to push Tyler and his gambling or anything like that. But then, like, those are the moments when you're on a roll like the Astros are right now. Like, man, you gotta press your luck. Like, they out here winning games where they get two hits and extra innings at this point now. Their starter had to leave after he got hit in the finger. Still just making it work. Josh Hader had to get two innings to get a save. Two hits, they win this game. They win 8 straight, sweep the Rays after they just swept the Boston Red Sox. And now they have the worst team in baseball who has 29 wins that they got a 3-game series against, that they can maybe even make some more distance between them and the second-place Seattle Mariners as they go and take 2 or 3 from the Rangers. Now the Rangers, they done dipped off. The Rangers, 9.5, 10 games back of them as well. So this has really shifted, and they got an off day today. And we're sitting here August 15th, and as I said, season high, 10 games over. 2.5 game lead, the largest lead they have had all season long in first place in the West. And as I said on the other side, what is the turnaround? What is the main reason? What would you say the main reason is? What's the turning point? What was the turning point for this turnaround? What is the main reason there? And I see some people text in. I thought a lot of people would say this, getting rid of Abreu, sending Abreu to Florida. The turning point, someone texted in, clearly is getting Tucker out of the lineup. I don't know if that person is serious. The turning point was when Hunter Brown finally put it all together. Framber became Framber. That's a part of the turnaround. From you all, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what is it? What for you is the main thing that was the turning point for them to get here? I want to hear from Tyler and Clint as well. Clint, what is it for you?
It's Alex Bregman. For me, it's Alex Bregman. When you look back on June the 18th, the Astros were 10 games out of first place. In the West, in the AL West. They were sitting at 33-40.
What date was that?
6-18. So June the 18th. And you look at what Alex has done really since June, July, and half of August, those 8 to 10 weeks right there. He's hitting over 300. He's been really good since then. Now he's been extremely hot of late. But when he broke out of his slump, and started swinging the bat well, this team turned a corner. And at June, at one point we talked about it, they were, if not number one, they were number two in baseball, and with 5.5 runs a game. You look at this stretch they've had in August here, of just dominant baseball. I think I saw Tyler posted something. He's doing a hell of a job posting all the mind-blowing stats that are out there. I think at one point they're averaging 6.5 runs a game through this win streak. With numbers like that, man, and we've talked at length about how Bregman just changes the lineup. When he's hot, this team wins ball games. The whole team seems to respond to Bregman. So I got to go with Bregman. Whether we're looking at the numbers and just what he's done in relation to, like, when he turned the corner in relation to when this team started coming back, or you look at it, you know, him just generally playing well and how the team responds to that. I got to go with Alex Bregman, my man.
Yeah, and that's kind of when he got hot. That's when he really started to roll through around that time.
It started in June of warming up, and it has just continued to get hotter and hotter since.
Someone said when Altuve got ejected, they actually said something very, very nasty, to be stupid, but I'll shout you out there. But when he got ejected in that game, someone said when they lost to the White Sox in that first game of that series, not a bad thought. When the pitching rotation got itself going, I got to be honest with you, Tyler. I don't get here often.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think Clint's is better than mine.
Well, what was yours?
For me, it was...
Is that my boy Ron?
I was going to say, when Kyle Tucker got hurt and they really knew he was hurt,
yeah,
and they started to figure out, like, hey, like, this ain't going to be a couple of days. Like, to me, I think it potentially put pressure and forced them to get to that place. It forced them to have to kind of make some moves. I felt like it forced them to kind of say, all right, man, listen, we can't fool around with Abreu anymore. Like, we got to make a move on him because we got to get bats in the lineup. I think it forced them to make the move with Yiner Diaz. And everybody, I think, at that point knew we got to pick it up. We got to pick it up because Kyle Tucker is not just just out, but he's not close. Like we don't have that parachute to wait to come save us very, very soon. Now I don't know if they know he's going to be out, you know, 3 months or whatever long he's been out. But I was going to say that. But I think your time table, because they were 7 games under 500 when that occurred. But I think your time, when you add your timetable in and the timing of when Alex Bregman started to get hot, I think that's better than mine.
Well, there's a time stamp. I mean, yours is more of a reaction like, hey, stuff's getting real, boys.
Because at June 3rd when he got hurt, they won that game against the Cardinals, but they were 7 games under. But then still, Abreu was still there.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like once they knew this was going to be longer, then it set in motion, we got to make some moves. Well, I think it was better.
I mean, he's just been really good in June and July, man, and half
well,
of August.
Yeah,
now.
I mean,
and it just continues to get better.
As we said it yesterday, he is, like, when you look at when they have been playing very, very well this year, it's not Kyle Tucker or Yordan, it's him. And when they played poorly, he's usually in a slump, he was at the start of the year when they were really down. So I get it to you. Go ahead, man.
I appreciate that, man. That's mature of you, man.
It is.
That takes a big man to admit that, especially on these airways, man. All these people listening. It is.
I was thinking about telling you off air. I was thinking about waiting a segment. I was going to really sell mine hard, and then I said, nah, whatever. All right, this is that was our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile's. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, coming up, remember, it is a Texans Ticket Thursday, so stay tuned and your thoughts on that. I mean, we'll keep you reminded on the time for that, as well as Clint made some interesting comments yesterday when we talked to Brandon Scott about this offensive line and expectations. I want to get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As we said, hey, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is the time that you need to be set and ready. 5 o'clock is when you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets in the lower bowl, in the club level, for Saturday's game against the New York Giants. That's your chance. Coming up 5 o'clock, your chance to win a pair of tickets right here on The Drive. Been doing it all day long. Did it on Payne and Pendergast at 9 a.m. Did it on In the Loop at 1. We'll be doing it, as I said, at 5. And then you'll have one more opportunity with Area 45.
Get them club seats.
9 o'clock, man. Go ahead and get them things, man. Don't.
You got good drinks up there, man.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Typically the club levels, man, there's drink options and food options that aren't on every level.
That's it, yeah.
And with club seats, I think you got to pay, a little more for.
I feel like that's kind of like the drinks you're talking about is where Tyler drags me when we go to Astros games.
That's probably fair.
Tyler knows where all the hard liquor spots are at Minuteman.
Yeah, Houston Cocktail Company, they'll hook you up.
Hey, I remember
one of
the first times I was going, I was with him. We were walking to go get, and I'm thinking, man, just grab a beer or something. Tyler had a place to be, had a place to get to.
Guy is drunk.
We walked past multiple options. We walked past multiple, including that long line of beers over there where Chick-fil-A and stuff is. We walked right on past him, and he had a spot to get to.
Got to find that whiskey.
He had a guy.
She's a lady.
Yeah.
She's a saint, too.
Got to buy me a cup.
Shout out to Angel.
Yeah. Shout out to Angel.
She hooks it up.
I bet you. She does.
Tip her well.
It was rather strong. I remember those drinks. But no, yeah, shout out to her. Go ahead with that thing. Hey, by the way, want to pass along another great day for the Astros. They now hold a 3-game lead as the Mariners went ahead and lost to the Tigers again. Is that a sweep? Did they get swept by the Tigers? Javi Baez.
Mariners?
Javi Baez, who has sucked all season long, and they cannot wait to get rid of his ass out of Detroit. He came up big in the 8th inning as they were trailing, of course, with the Mariners 1-0, because They can't score runs worth a damn. Javi Baez hits a two-run homer in the eighth, bottom of the eighth inning to give them the lead, and they win 2-1. So the Astros, season-high games there in the AL West. So a big day already on their day off. They've gained some ground on the Mariners. All right, Clint, we were talking to B. Scott yesterday as he's with us each and every Wednesday, 4:40 with the Texans Report. And you were talking about, and it was getting a little passionate in your eyes, of the expectations that you feel like needs to be had with this Texans offensive line as their starters, their ones we look to see play coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I mean, the conversation revolved around the ones, but hell, I'll be honest with you. I'll take it twos. I'll take it third quarter. I'll take it fourth quarter at any point in time.
Everybody.
I mean, yeah. there is just, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too critical of the Texans. Y'all tell me. But they're with this offensive line, in the preseason games where you're not getting a ton of different looks thrown at you. Let's be honest. You should be able to do it in the regular season as well. We've got a standard set around here. It seems like over the last few years of we're just expecting our backs to make somebody miss 2-3 yards deep in the backfield. And if they don't do that, they ain't worth a damn. Some of this is on the O-line, but some of this is on the back. No, man, I mean, there was at one point last year, well into the season, the Texans were either last or next to last in terms of the ball carrier getting hit deeper in the backfield sooner than 30 other teams in the league. Like, at some point in time, the standard's got to be different. I just, and again, maybe I'm being too critical, but I watch every snap of the damn Texans games, and I can't tell you, the last time I watched any game, but watched a game and thought, damn, these boys up front are just road grading, folks. I mean, these dudes up front are just creating space. They are just getting movement. And I don't even need it, like you said before, like it's unfair to expect the Texans to be as physical or play ball the way Baltimore and San Francisco do. But it's like when you got CJ and you're going to be an 11 personnel, you're going to throw it all over the park. That's not your identity. It's not who you are. Those teams, it's who they have to be to win football games. So I'm not even saying I don't need to see it for four quarters. I don't need to see it the entire second half. In fact, you can go back and watch the Texans Baltimore game in the playoffs last year. What Baltimore did in the second half against the Texans is what I'm talking about. I just want to see that sparingly. Just let me see it randomly throughout the first half. Let me see two plays in the first half where we all go, damn, we had a hat on a hat and we were moving, folks, right there. That damn running back got 4 yards before he was ever touched. The more I thought about it after we left yesterday, I'm like, you know, that's very reasonable. That is very reasonable. And it's a crying shame that we've let the poor run game and the inability to not let just a ton of leakage through in your run schemes. We've let that.
But it's reasonable, yes. But what my thought and question to you with that thought is are they capable of doing
they
that?
They should be.
I know should be. But I'm saying,
I don't have the answer. I ain't seen it yet. Said,
or like from what you have seen. Like, we've seen these guys all play. We've seen Titus Howard play. We've seen Laramie Tunsil play. Now, we haven't seen them all together.
Yeah.
We've seen Kenyon Green, Drew Scruggs. Like, are they capable of us having that expectation to move people where, hey, man, these guys don't get touched for 4 yards. Like, we get down here and bam. Like, to me, like, I can't have the expectation. My expectation is that thing improves from last year. They don't have games where Clint Bobby just had to say, hell man, we just got to throw it away. We just can't even run the ball. There were multiple games last year where it was Damian Pierce was a runner or Singletary was a runner where they just had to say to hell with it.
We just had to abandon
Bobby. And like D'Amico said to us yesterday, what is the game called for? The game called for you have to throw it every time, but the game called you have to throw it every time because y'all can't run it. And like, to go from that to, so it should be improving over that, but boy, like, I don't have expectations that they like able to run on teams when teams not, know they got to run.
That's not what I'm saying, Ron. I think that's an unfair expectation. I don't know enough about Juice and Kenyon up front yet to answer your question of what's fair and what's not fair. But I'm just telling you, if you've got three first-round picks, two guys which have had multiple contracts, big contracts, Shaq Mason's won Super Bowls, and you've got a second-round center and a first-round top 15 pick.
Their football coach says they should be able.
You have got to be. And again, what I'm saying, I'm not even talking about the box score. I don't care, ultimately, what you end up, whether you improve X number, because it's easy to sit here and go, well, damn, Devin Singletary averaged such and such yards per carry last year. Yeah, but we all know, you watch the games. That was not a run game that was scaring anybody. Everybody, 4.5 yards a carry. Come on, man. We all know that wasn't the run. We all understand the point that's being made here. I don't even care what the box score looks like compared to other years. What I'm talking about is throughout the first half of the start. Let's just say the starters are going to play the first half. There should be two plays where we go, we got to get more of that. That's got to happen more. Now, whether it can or not, I don't know. But there's not even, when I watch it, there are last week, 41's a damn rookie. Now, he's arguably one of the best linebackers that was coming out last year. Or not arguably, he is one of the best linebackers that was coming out last year. He's a rookie. And he's shooting gaps on play side runs that are just like, how in the hell does that happen? Like that's gotta be a thing of the past. Help Damian Pierce, the one run where he did get some yardage, he made a guy miss that was dead ass in the hole. Like I'm gonna tell you, I watched it. I was out on the patio last weekend, and I got me a big nice TV out there, so I was getting that thing all tuned up. And the game that evening happened to be the Cowboys. So I don't even remember what quarter it was. I wasn't watching it that close. There was two different times when I looked up and I was like, I don't know if this is the starters. I don't cover the Cowboys. I don't know. But I don't know what string this is, offensive line. But I've seen two runs where that running back was 8 yards into the defense before he got touched.
Seeing that from the Texans.
Yes, yes. It wasn't like, I'm not saying the play was blocked up perfectly. I'm saying play side. Where the running back is trying to get to, they are getting pushed. A couple of guys are getting pushed. One guy may be just walling a guy off, and they're getting like we have somehow put ourselves in a spot as fans and as the media to where, boy, it's just all on the running backs if they can't get it done.
We're a passing team. It's not going to be their specialty.
Nah, man, you're an NFL team. You're an NFL team with championship aspirations. Again, I'm not saying you need to just bulldoze people the way that San Francisco can and the way that Baltimore can, and maybe think about the Indy game last year when Jonathan Taylor went off against the Texans. I'm not even saying you got to do that, but we should see glimpses, damn it. We should see glimpses of like, hey, man, we got some talented dudes up there that got great feet that are tangibly really, really good. We got a hat on a hat, and we move some folks right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to have it. There are teams that are passing teams that you can think of that have more space to run the football.
Hell, the Kansas City Chiefs have done it time to time.
Yeah, and you should be able to take advantage of the boxes that you'll get.
Yes.
Right? Like I think what Clint in his mind is thinking is, and this will probably be the one that makes the most sense, Cincinnati has never had a good offensive line. They have struggled with that area for years. They've tried to do a lot of things. They're still drafting tackles in the first round. But what they do have is, all right, we got Jamar Chase and we got Higgins on the edge that scare the hell out of people, so there is never going to be a deep box that we ever have to face. And Joe Mixon routinely got 1,000 yards every year and routinely was able to run the ball, and a lot having to do with not having – a loaded box ever. And they're not a great run team, but they were good to complement that and good enough with the guy.
Compliments are right. That's what I'm looking for. You got to have a complimentary run game.
Last year, they were a throwing team, and they couldn't do that. They should be able to take advantage of the lack of boxes, loaded boxes, that they're going to see because Diggs, Tank, and Nico Collins are out there.
You got to make teams pay.
And Stroud.
You got to make teams pay. They're going to try to drop 7-8 guys into coverage because of the weapons you have. You've got to be able to make them pay.
Yep.
I'm not saying you got to be the Washington football team from back in the, what was it, 80, early 80s when they had the,
you talking about the fun bunch?
The Hogs back in the day.
Oh, the Hogs, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you got to be that. Damn, you got to be able to make teams pay, though. You're too damn good up front. You got too much invested up front to consistently have run throughs and not get push.
All right, big 3-3 coming up next. Stros will get into their 8-game streak, and they've increased their lead because of what happened with Seattle today. We'll get into more of that. Also give you the latest on Ronel Blanco, who had to leave the game from Joe Espada. And D'Amico comments on what his starters and how much they'll play and what that will look like coming up on Saturday. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.